Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you. God promised through Moses that he would raise up a line of prophets who would speak his word to the Jewish people. Deuteronomy 18:15-22. Some of those prophets were among the greatest men who ever lived. They delivered God's message to the Jews exactly as God instructed them. They did not add to the word of the Lord, nor did they take from it. But some of the prophets were more concerned about the people's reaction to their messages than about God's approval of their activities. Is it possible we have preachers today in all religious groups who have the same attitude? Are we preachers tempted to bow to the will of the hearers rather than preaching the word of God Almighty? We must remember whose we are and who called us into his service. The prophet Jeremiah was appalled at the conduct of the prophets. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunk man and like a man whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Jeremiah 23:9. Jeremiah knew, as all the prophets of Israel should have known, what God expected of the prophets. He knew the prophets had not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Because of the prophets' unfaithfulness, Jeremiah's heart was broken. The prophets were responsible to a great degree for the tragedy which would occur in Israel. They would be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and kept in exile for 70 years. The prophets were not the only ones to blame, but they did have to shoulder much of the responsibility. Jeremiah was so badly shaken by the unfaithfulness of the prophets that all his bones shook, and he was like a drunk man whom wine had overcome. Jeremiah knew the nation would have to pay for the disobedience of the prophets. God could not allow the prophets and the Israelite people to trample underfoot his holy word. The book of Hebrews expresses sentiments which are similar to what I have read to you from Jeremiah. He who despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:28-29. What was particularly troubling to Jeremiah was the gross immorality which prevailed among the Israelites. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not white. Jeremiah 10:10. Do you see any resemblance between the conditions Jeremiah described and those which exist in the United States of America? Sometimes when the prophets wrote about adultery, they were not speaking exclusively of sexual immorality. Idolatry was spiritual adultery, which you can readily comprehend by examining the book of Hosea. Jeremiah almost certainly had both physical adultery and spiritual adultery in mind when he wrote, "How shall I pardon you for this, that is the transgressions and backslidings of the Israelites? Your children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Every one neighed after his neighbor's wife." Jeremiah 5:7-8. At the time Jeremiah condemned the adultery and idolatry I've just mentioned, the Jews could have repented and avoided Babylonian exile. But tragically, they did not. They would have to reap what they had sown. Surely, modern men, including all leaders, need to learn from these great truths we have talked about from the book of Jeremiah. We thank you for listening today. Please continue to listen.